Welcome to the LTC University podcast. My name is Jamie Preston, and super excited today. We have two guests. We have Josh Wilda. He's the Chief Digital and Information Officer at the University of Michigan Health West. And we also have Dr. Lance Owens, the Chief Medical Information Officer at the University of Michigan Health West as well. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Jamie. Appreciate it.
With a background in information technology and a passion for improving the delivery of healthcare, you know, tell me how you guys kind of both got into this world a little bit. Kind of give me your origin story.
That's a good question. I'll go first. So as you mentioned, I'm the Chief Digital Information Officer here. I've been at University of Michigan West for about 15 years. Started my career off leadership, biomedical sciences, and implementations. I'm not a techie, but I understand the value that technology can bring to bettering the healthcare of our communities. Mm. And that's really where my passions lie, especially with the age of the EMR implementations and now into extending different care models. So I really gravitated towards the partnership that IT has with healthcare and slowly got myself into the opportunity of being the Chief Digital Information Officer here at West.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Dr. Owens, give us kind of your background.
Yeah, I actually started in high school as a, you know, kind of a computer guy. I was going to be an IT guy when I was in high school, and my science teacher came to me and said, you know, you're really kind of good at science. You probably shouldn't do IT stuff, and kind of spurred me. And that's really, you know, I'm not one of these docs that said, oh, I wanted to be a doctor since I was two. That changed when I was in high school. And when I was in college, actually, my thesis in college was I actually wrote basically a risk screen on the old programmable Texas Instrument. Mm. Basically, the one, you know, if you smoked, you got a point. If you were obese, you got a point. To be a high blood pressure, you got a point. And basically risked patients on basically just a numerical score, which was kind of fun. But professionally speaking, my interest in IT, and particularly the physician-patient relationship and what that means and how to make the office visits as efficient and as intimate as it can be, probably started when I was in the military.
Yeah.
Not so much my experiences with patients, but when I was there, I came on and off paper and an EMR six different times. And any of you who've done that even once, you know, that's enough. And so I think that gave me a unique perspective. Sure. on how to navigate the EMR with a doctor-patient relationship, or really a provider-patient relationship. So when I came back from the military, I dove in both feet with trying to be the best provider I could be with Epic. We use Epic, which went live shortly after I came back to Metro. I was here at Metro and then left to serve in the Navy.
And Epic's your guys' EMR?
Yeah. And was identified as a pretty efficient user, which kind of launched my career here at UMH West. And like Josh said, just over the years, just kind of garnered more responsibility and interest, and became the CMIO about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's funny. Lance and I make the perfect team. He started out as the tech guy. I started out wanting to be a physician. And now we've met in our careers here.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. I love that story. You know, and I love that we're talking about, you know, technology today. Because I remember my first, I haven't been in healthcare. I'm a creative. I'm a videographer by trade, podcaster, you know, graphic designer, all that stuff. So I'm a creative. And I got into healthcare about 7 years ago with a hospice group. And I remember thinking how backwards the healthcare industry was with technology. We literally, I'm like, you know, when a referral would come into our office for our hospice, they're like, hey, and I'm like, where do the referrals come? Where do we get those? And they're like, you get it off the fax machine. I'm like, we're still using fax technology. And, you know, I get that it's secure, all that stuff, but I was just kind of dumbfounded. But I love, it seems like this last, you know, several years, technology has just being used more and more, you know, with things being HIPAA compliant and seeing, you know, the company that I work with, SC House Calls, and seeing how we're utilizing this. And now we're bringing on, you know, this new software DAX that's really going to revolutionize things for our providers, save them time and do so much. So I'm super excited about this. And I'd love to have you guys here to talk about this. Tell us a little bit about kind of your guys' practice at the University of Michigan Health West.
So we, I'll start with that one. Since I've been around so long, I'd like to go back. Our institution was started when 7 osteopathic physicians remortgaged their homes and put a hospital in a home in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wow.
And it has just obviously has evolved over time. And, you know, now we are, we like to call ourselves the premier affiliate of the University of Michigan. Mm. So we are a whole affiliate of the University of Michigan. We have our local board structure, which reports up to the regents. You know, we make sense. And then we also don't where it makes sense. And one of those places that we have done both of those is in IT. So certain parts of our department are integrating very nicely into the University of Michigan's, you know, we call it, you know, the parent company. But other parts, like some of the innovations that we do, like DAX, you know, we're kind of off on a different arm. Mm-hmm. And we can test things out. We can try things a little more nimbly than the university, mainly because of our size, sure. Our structure. You know, people like to say we have a little bit less red tape, you know, those types of things. So the relationship is fantastic in that we can learn from each other, really kind of capitalize on each other's strengths.
Sure, that's great.
We're a 208-bed hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is the west side of Michigan. You know, fully, you know, serve really any type of medical issue. We do a lot of surgeries in our hospital. Mm-hmm. Employed and provider group, about 300 providers now. About a little less than half of those, I would say, are primary care, and that's where we focused our DAX efforts for reasons we can discuss if you wish to.
Yeah. So guys, why is innovation? I know for you guys, it's huge. And I see a lot of, you know, primary care practices that are very, they're not utilizing a lot of technology. They've kind of, for lack of a better term, kept it old school, if you will. You know, why is innovation such an important part to you and your organization?
That's a great question. It is really in the DNA of this organization. As Lance talked about the history, and it was innovative just to have these 7 providers come together to provide care in this community. And it's always been in their DNA ever since. That this organization has known that we need to leverage innovation. In some instances, we're in a community where we have some larger healthcare systems that we have a co-opetition, but we have to remain relevant, and that technology could allow us to, as our CEO would say, punch above our weight in size and opportunity. Lance mentioned Epic. We were one of the first small to mid-sized organizations to be on Epic. We were one of the first organizations to really adopt a population health module. We're bringing in care gaps, using IT innovations to connect people. What I love about actually where our organization is going is we recently changed our vision statement, mission and vision statement, but our vision statement in particular says it all. Our vision statement says, our innovations change care, our care changes lives. And I even get goosebumps when I say it out loud because it just reaches so many different facets of healthcare, not just technology, but how you incorporate different care flows, how you incorporate different things. And I think we understand that as our populations grow, as people get sicker, as people get older, as different care delivery models happen, as other industries change, setting expectations for our patients, we have to really leverage technology to bring together all the information needed mm-hmm. to allow providers to quarterback their care teams. No longer can you manage your patients via Rolodex. You have so many different facets of communication. where if you're not innovating, you're staying stagnant and you won't achieve your care goals. I would say, and Lance and I talk about this all the time, and this isn't arrogance, our organization cannot move forward on anything without an HITS, that's our Health Information Technology Services, team member, a part of it somewhere. There isn't anything that happens in our organization anymore to keep us connected, to keep all of those care information going. You know, our motto has been one patient, one record. And to do that across the landscape of Grand Rapids, our specialties, our primary care, we've just got to leverage on innovation to do it. The last but not least, I'd like to add, Jamie, it's also our organization has adopted a culture of accepting change. And I think that speaks a little bit to, you know, your statement earlier about healthcare, because I agree with you that it's taken a while because, you know, healthcare is best practices, tried and true. And if you divert from that, it's a patient life that you could be impacting. So why move away from something? And I think that an organization like ours that is open to change, that's open to, you know, I don't want to say failing at the sake of a patient care, but failing to fail forward, to push the envelope forward. It's just has been in our DNA, and it has just been in something that has just made this organization a really unique place to live and to work. When you look at our size, you know, everyone compares, when you say, where do you work? I work at 208 beds. I work at 2000 beds. For us, it's not our size organization. It's what we're doing inside the four walls that make it innovative. So that's kind of our mantra.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
if I could just coattail that, we have this philosophy, if you will, that we want to, you know, wrap our digital arms around our patients. We recognize technology, and a lot of that could be innovation, can create a wedge between the provider, the patient, the institution, and the patient, you know. So we like to use innovation in a way which really enhances that intimate relationship between provider, patient, organization, patient.
Yeah, that's great. And the practice that I work with SC House Calls, you know, I know for us, the pandemic really opened up, you know, opportunities to really utilize technology more and more, you know, one being telehealth, you know, being able to do that, you know, once providers were being able to be paid for that, you know, that was a big door that was opened, you know, and then it just keeps going from there. And how do we, you know, how are we able to serve more and more people? How are we able to, you know, really reach out and if we are going to see more patients, we've got to be more efficient. We've got to be, you know, better at what we do. You know, we can't overstress our providers. We have to be cognizant of those things. So, you know, saying all that, why did you guys, you know, as we dive deeper into innovation, why did you guys decide to bring Nuance Dragon Ambient Experience to your physicians in primary care? And what outcomes were you hoping to achieve by implementing DAX?
Yeah, we've been acutely aware of the cognitive burden that the EMR brings to the doctor-patient, provider-patient relationship. You know, I jokingly say that overnight, the adoption of the EMR created the most expensive data entry clerks in the world.
Yes.
And oftentimes, spent more time typing on the computer or inputting data into the computer when we're with our patients than we are actually with our. And so that's one of the reasons why several years ago we were looking at ambient speech to integrate that somehow into care. And obviously it wasn't ready. Ambient speech is used in many industries. It has been used in healthcare for the obvious reasons. It just has to be perfect. So we've been following the journey of ambient speech. And even in the user group meetings, you know, the conferences that Epic has, you know, they've been showcasing these, you know, note generation, automatic note generation using natural language processing and artificial intelligence. And 1 year, maybe 3 years ago, you know, question, Epic, when you're doing your demos on stage in front of a live audience, who is your engine? What engine are you using to create this note? And they said Nuance, and that perked our ears because we have been a very a good partner with Nuance for a long time, using other tools within their portfolio.
Sure.
You know, their Dragon and Dragon Medical Advisor and PowerScribe, and so we've been a good partner with them for a while. So we approached them on where they were at with this technology, and you know, they said we're not quite there yet until late 2019, I would say, when they were looking for an institution that they wanted to do a pilot. They said they thought they were ready, you know, for the market. So we were one of their pilot sites. So why did we bring it in? We brought it in to help decrease that cognitive burden for our provider note generation, to help bring back and support that intimacy between our provider and our patients, and to just allow a nice, relaxed, meaningful conversation in the exam room.
Sure.
So when we chose certain providers to be part of the pilot, we had very, very, this was a true pilot. You know, you just imagine, you know, being one of the first institutions to do this, to pay for a technology where they come to you and say, all that stuff you've done for 100 and something years, you now no longer have to do it. Of course, there was a lot of, you know, too good to be true feelings. And so we wanted to, our pilot was a true pilot. You know, this wasn't one of those things where we were going to implement it just to see if all the buttons worked and everything was, you know, connected, and then we were going to do a widespread rollout. This was a real evaluation pilot.
Sure.
And so we had several KPIs that we were looking for, you know, key performance indicators. Primarily, we were looking at how much time our providers were spending in the notes per day and per encounter, because those can tell a different story. We were looking at various times they were charting outside of typical, patient contact hours, whether mm-hmm. that be after hours or whether that be on days that they had no patients scheduled or whether that be on times when they have administrative time blocked out. You know, we were seeing providers on late at night for many hours. We were seeing providers logging out on their vacations. And of course, we were seeing providers logging on during their administrative time, which we expect. Those were the indicators we were looking at. We were looking at length of documentation. We were looking at how many days to chart closure, those types of things. And we had significant improvements in every category. Everything mm-hmm. we were looking at, we found.
Yeah.
And so from that pilot, we very quickly learned we need to figure out a strategy on how we're going to bring this to the masses at our institution. Our pilot consisted of about, actually a little more than half specialists, and the rest were primary care. And we did a full care team, we did a full department, we did individual providers, we did providers who excelled with Epic, we did providers who were struggling in Epic, mm-hmm. and every single one of them had positive impacts except our specialists.
Yeah.
All of them eventually dropped out of using Dragon because it just didn't feel it fell into their workflows. There are many reasons for that. We feel it's probably because we brought on specialists onto Epic well after we brought on our primary care folks, and feel that our efforts to help them with their documentation tools was probably the reason that they felt more efficient on their own charting tools than they were on DAX. So our pilot led to us to roll out DAX to our entire primary care service line. And we were the first institution in the country to roll it out to a service line, to a widespread wow. service. And it has been wildly successful.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, I don't care what organization you're at, how big or how small it is. When you bring in change and you say, hey, we're going to change this, you always have resistance. You always have those things that come up. You're going to have people that are going to resist. You're going to have your early adopters as well. They're going to be like, yeah, let me use this. This will be great. But you have that mixture of people. What was the implementation process like? This question's for you, Josh. You know, what was that implementation process and what did that entail?
Yeah, it's a good question. And to even go up a little bit further to your point about the change portion of it, and Lance touched on it too, we have a couple of guiding principles that we're looking at when we're picking our technologies. Mm-hmm. We're very intentional as an organization, as a leadership team driving these solutions. A lot of it is it cannot degrade the patient-provider relationship. And when I say provider, I mean our entire organization. Sure. I just don't mean the provider in themselves. It has to be something, and we're all trying to find that elusive technology that hits all the marks on the quadruple aim, right? Mm-hmm. Best practice, or best patient experience, best provider experience, low cost, high quality. And the other one that we're always talking about, at least here at University of Michigan Health West, is Techquity. What are those technologies that are helping wrap around our digital arms around all patients?
Sure.
Not a subset of patients that just might benefit because they have the money to pay for a certain technology or something else. So when we first looked at this product set and talked about the implementation and talked about change, we first, you know, Lance and I were like, oh, okay, well, this is going to take a big, heavy lift. It's a cloud-based technology, which was amazing for us to have the conversation with. Mm-hmm. Nuance also, you know, when they talk about, well, okay, how are we going to capture this information to begin with? And Nuance has in-room technology kits, as probably some, a lot of your listeners are aware of. But they also have the mobile device piece. And we knew that, okay, it needed to be efficient for our providers, it needed to be efficient for our patients. And so we also didn't choose to go down the road of the in-room kits. We know that that technology is just going to get better, especially as Nuance integrates visual AI technologies into those kits. Mm-hmm. But we knew already, like you had mentioned, with telehealth, our providers had gotten used to using iPhones to connect to patients and all that. So we just wanted to integrate it there. I would tell you, this was one of the simplest implementations I have ever been a part of.
Nice.
It was about 2 to 3 months. The implementation process, Nuance came at it with a high degree of rigor, setting up KPIs that we had to meet. Mm-hmm. So we really got into the measurements as Lance was talking about. Working with our organization, you know, they had a strong partnership with Epic, which made that simple for us as well, of connecting those APIs together with the Nuance product as well as the Epic piece. So for those that might not know, especially from the mobile device platform, we've integrated it within Epic to pull down the patient's, the provider schedules, so they're able to see their schedules via the phone. And then those APIs back and forth between the AI to get it back into the progress note itself. So really the pure technology piece of this, 2 to 3 months, mm-hmm. and very, very light lift. It was a small team, our interfaces team, clinical informatics folks, and our and some of our technology folks from the network side, just to make sure we had connectivity there.
And you guys were the pilot. You guys were the pilot, which is going to be the hardest of all, you know. So now this has been smoothed out and figured out, you know, by DAX.
You're spot on. I even for us as an organization, we knew with the pilot, you know, as Lance mentioned, once we had the pilot out there, this organization would have chosen not to do it. True. There would have been 15 doctors that got it. I mean, because there was no way that we were going to take it out of their hands. The biggest lift that we have, and Lance can go into this a little bit as well, it was the onboarding piece. Mm-hmm. So the technology is yet to be at the stage where it just stands alone. So Nuance does have quality documentation specialists behind the scenes, watching the AI capture the information and ensuring that it is of the quality note that it needs to be. Mm-hmm. There are also ones that are integrating with providers and having conversations with providers about structuring the AI even more to learn. This isn't a one and done. It continuous. It's a machine learning. That's part of the AI umbrella. So it's always learning. How do I change my cadence? How do I change the way I talk? What are the edits that I'm making to then learn for it to be prime time ready without a QDS specialist? It was getting those QDS specialists access to our systems that took the longest amount of time, as well as the onboarding of the physicians, just getting them comfortable with getting them integrated into the system and then the training portion of it. Mm-hmm. But as far as an implementation is concerned, I don't know, Lance, I think from soup to nuts, from implementation to our first pilot, we were talking about a 3 or 4 month period.
Yeah.
At least.
It was very, very light lift on us. It being cloud-based had a no-brainer on us. The other pieces that took a little bit longer was the regulatory pieces of it, making sure our LMR, Legal Medical Records Committee, our compliance folks understood we're taking recordings of individuals, and making sure that we had those in the patient rights and consent to treat forms. That's how we handled the situation, is we already had in the consent to treat, right? We're already doing telemedicine. We're already doing video. So we had it in our consent to treat that that's how we provide care. We just added this as one more option. They can opt out, surely. But that was another piece that took a little bit longer, not longer. It was just the longer process than just the pure technology.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Add on to the onboarding of the physicians with the participation, it did take the longest. And it wasn't because it was hard to do. The thing that took the longest was getting the time on the provider's schedule.
Yeah.
it was tracking them down, working with their office managers, getting a time period that they could commit to a couple of hours that they didn't have scheduled. That's what took the longest. The actual onboarding is very simple. You meet with Nuance for an hour. They help you download the app. They log you in. They make the connections. You do a test recording to make sure that they can hear and all the connections are made. And then you spend a little bit more time talking about how do you integrate this into your visit. How do you talk about a physical exam? You know, what are the various ways that you can use it? It is very, very simple. I assume you're going to use the app, you know, the wireless, the mobile app, because your doctors travel. It's very simple. You sign in the app, you select your patient, you hit record. When you're done, you stop the recording and then send it up for processing. It's easy. But knowing that you guys are going live with this, I have so many things I want to tell you, because we have found there's less about education about how to use the app and more about mentoring on how to integrate it into your practice. And decision here at UMH West that when we bring on new providers, we are not giving them DAX for at least 3 months. And because we found that getting your smart phrases and all your documentation tools in tip-top shape, maybe even as a group, you guys want to decide on certain standards of documentation. You know, we're trying to move to the ABSO format in our documentation as opposed to a SOAP note, where we are looking at maybe standardization of certain notes, because the more standardized you are, the faster the AI learns. You really want to get your smart phrases and your documentation tools kind of tuned up, so that when Nuance ingests them into what they call your DAX studio, just basically your personal teachings of DAX and how you like things to happen. Mm-hmm. So when I start a visit with DAX and I'm seeing a diabetic, I say, this is Mrs. Smith. I give the date of birth. She's here for diabetes. And I say, LO, my initials, DAX, and DM. And so the system knows to pull in my diabetes template, which has been kind of revamped to really optimize the DAX structure. And Nuance will help you with all of this.
Yeah, that's great.
The onboarding process, even before you're onboarding providers, is very important. Do not blow that off, because we have found that it makes the adoption of DAX so much smoother. Because we did about a 6-month rollout to all of our providers, and so we learned along the way as well. And it's very easy. And I think the thing that you need to be most intentional about is really kind of, like I said, tuning up the smart phrases that will be ingested into DAX.
Nice. Awesome.
I think also long-term setting the expectation, it is AI. It is learning. It's not going to be, it is pretty accurate right out of the box, but it takes time, just like anything else. We've had some folks that, this isn't for me right off the bat. Takes a number of notes before you really get going. Lance, what's the number once they really feel it is top? Now, was it 1,500 encounters? What's the number?
Between 12 and 1,500 encounters, they feel like you're almost ready to rely fully on the AI.
Wow.
So getting over that hump, just like we've had providers even with our Epic story, where they didn't sit down and do smart phrases or do their tools, and they're the ones that were most frustrated. And those that put the time in or gave it time, and Nuance is very good to work with on edits. You know, it's not a laborious process. You just redax the edit or call your QDS person. So it is very, it's very conducive to the care practice, I think, as Lance was mentioning, you know, how you practice, how you talk. We've had questions a lot of people going, so do I, you know, do I talk to the patient and then I conversely change that to medical speak? You know, how do I just engage in conversation?
And sure.
As Lance mentioned, our CEO said, demo this for us. And Lance was like, here you go. And he put the phone on the table. He hit the button. He said, let's just chat. And getting to that freeness of it, I think, took a little bit for some of our providers as well to understand that it's not dictation. It's not transcription. It's right. not, I just had a conversation with the patient, and now I got to transcribe that all in medical speak. It's not, as Lance would say, it's not going back. It's going forward.
Yeah.
It is taking that conversation and driving it more. And there, you know, those outcomes we were talking about of what we were measuring, there's a lot of other byproduct outcomes that we weren't prepared for, positive outcomes that came out of this product that we were like, okay, this truly is meeting the triple aim or quadruple aim, excuse mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie, one of the things that I think was part of our success was we actually rolled this out. I think our philosophy and our attitude towards this was part of our success in that we didn't say, here's this tool. This is going to allow you to see two or three more patients a day. Our philosophy was, and literally this came from our CEO, we're doing this as a thank you, as a gift almost, if you will, back to our primary care doctors who have worked so hard throughout the pandemic, put themselves at risk, you know, frontline people, and say, we're giving this to you as a way to just make your life easier, mm-hmm. to help prevent burnout. You know, in fact, our Office of Professional Wellbeing helped fund it. Our foundation helped fund it because we were really looking at this as a way to improve the lives of our providers. And I think that attitude we brought to our medical staff and our providers in that way, it was kind of like, oh, this makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what has been the overall, what is the other physicians and providers, you know, I'm assuming you have MDs and are you utilizing nurse practitioners as well?
Yeah, we launched it to all providers. So
nice.
All of our physicians, all of our, physician assistants, all of our nurse practitioners.
Great. And what's the consensus been overall? Kind of the
how much time?
I mean,
how much time you got?
In a couple minutes.
go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, there's and we can always provide you and your organization some of the presentations we've done also for Nuance where we show some of the statistics. We've already seen an overall dropping of time and note per day down 10 minutes.
Wow.
So we already have that amount of return. We have different personalities, as Lance has mentioned.
Sure.
We had very high efficient providers who are sub 1 minute per day in note per patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this took them. We have some providers that took them a little bit longer. They're sitting at that 2 to 3 minute. Lance, your numbers, you're always very vulnerable about your numbers. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, even before Dex, I was pretty efficient. I was between 4 and 5 minutes per encounter per day. I'm one of those sub minute. There are weeks where my average is 45 seconds. We have provider. My partner, guy who I share an office with, he's relatively new. He's very methodical. He was spending over 15 minutes per encounter in notes.
Yeah.
I mean, counter, and he's now down to the institutional average of 5 minutes.
Wow.
So just amazing improvements. I've had providers hug me when I go around on them to see how Dax is going. I've had providers had providers tell me that I saved their marriage. One told me that I fixed healthcare in one button. Of course, I didn't, but you know, I'll take a little bit of credit.
So some of the byproducts that we
even had one provider tell me, my wife wants me to go have counseling, and I'm like, why? He said, because when I go home at night, I'm no longer in the chart for several hours at night. She thinks I'm scoffing off my responsibilities of my job. So I could go on and on and on.
Wow.
I think one of the things that I think really, it really greases the wheels of your entire practice. You as the, as the provider, your MAs, you know, because you're not rushing off between patients. Finish your notes. I actually have time to do prescriptions, answer emails, answer phone calls, you know, maybe chat with my staff as opposed to just running from patient to patient to patient. And as I'm more efficient, the staff's more efficient. Our referral printers are more efficient. The nursing's more efficient. So it just greases the wheels of the entire office. It takes a little bit of work to get there, of just integrating it into your practice. Mm-hmm. It's not just a no-brainer. You know, there is a tiny bit of effort that goes into it. The response from our physicians has been fantastic.
That's great.
And Jamie, a couple of byproducts or things that, you know, to bring up as well that I think your listeners should look out for as well. We did see an uptick in pajama time. But it was interesting of the feedback we had from pajama time was, we don't mind because it is not about I have to write all of this and remember everything. It's just reviewing a note and signing.
Yeah.
What we've also seen is a higher capture rate of those oh by the ways. We always talk about, right, you have a certain amount of time with a provider, at least with us within office. You know, I'm not sure the care model with you guys going into homes. But you know, you only have one or two visits or one or two complaints, and if that's it, get out of here. And then the old by the way comes up, and we either provide free care because we give advice and not document it. And there's a lot of risk there too, especially if it's not documented. So now those oh by the ways are captured. Providers feel even more confident that it has everything. Lance, my wife happens to be Lance's mid-level PA, have always said this writes a better note than that what they write. Mm. On the patient side. So we knew that this was going to impact patients as well, not, you know, just from the relationship standpoint. Yeah. Two things from the patient side. The first thing from the patient side is during our pilot, we started with Nuance, and I'm sure if your groups did this as well, we were surveying the patients because we had the devices right there in the room. We could do a QR code and they would do a survey. And one of the key attributes that we loved seeing was one of the questions: Rate this experience based on seeing the same provider without DAX.
Hmm. That's great.
And it was a 1 to 5 score, and unanimously we're at a 4.8 as far as better experience whatsoever, you know, across the board.
Right.
The other big impact that we love seeing that we didn't really plan for, but it was great: information blocking came right at this time that we were rolling this out, and so patients are now able to see their notes. And we were getting feedback from patients that I can see that you're listening. My voice is in that note because it just doesn't edit out all the things the patient says. It really is a conversational but medically relevant note. Example, one of the first instances we had a patient comment on when he went and looked at the note, he had mentioned, "I jacked up my knee." And the note said, in quotes, patient said he jacked up his knee. And the patient was so enamored with the fact that here we're capturing that information and they felt part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Lance has had some provider or some patients that were getting emotional in the room, and the AI was able to pick up on the emotion with tears in his eyes. So it does make it more personable. The last product that we saw, we don't have final scientific data on this, but we are seeing and hearing an uptick in our first-time authorizations for eligibility because of the notes for other services. So our referral coordinators are able to get the patients in quicker for other services because these notes are highly effective and are such a quality note that it's able to produce that kind of experience, not just for our patients, but then for our organization, because we're not spending that overhead. So there's a lot of things to uncover with DAX that it's not just what's happening in the room. Like Lance said, it has a downstream impact, positive across the board. We are also evaluating what is the financial gain from this. Mm-hmm. We are seeing more specific coding coming out of this. And so we're starting to analyze our data to see those folks that are on DAX, how long they've been using it. And are we seeing an uptick in RVU? Are we seeing an uptick in reimbursement because they're able to capture more, obviously treat the patient for more things, but also document them so we can get reimbursed for them?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. That, when we were going live with our pilot is when, you know, CMS changed their billing requirement for medical decision-making and time-based. So we spent a lot of time, I doubt you'll need to do this because I'm sure it's part of their general process now, but we spent a lot of time with Nuance about making sure that the note that the AI kicked out was compliant with the new CMS guidelines for time and MDM. And so we also have noticed our providers that use DAX, when they're audited, their pass percentage rate is 10% higher than our non-DAX users. Mm. So the notes are very, very good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Guys, thanks so much. I want to give you 30 seconds each. And I want you to, you know, I want you to speak to SC House Calls providers, you know, the ones that may be a little skeptical. Some of them are ready to adopt this and try this out. What would you say in 30 seconds to these providers to encourage them to let them know what's coming?
I would say use it. The more you use it, the better it's going to get. Here's my bottom line. If I'm speaking to providers, this is what I tell them. It is so awesome to be able to walk into an exam room, sit down, face the patient, look at them eye to eye, sit back and relaxed posed, have a nice, meaningful conversation, elicit the information, you know, be able to come up with a differential diagnosis, a plan, educate the patient. And that whole time, I don't have to input that in the system, and I know that it's all being documented. It's such a great thing. It is a life preserver here. And I just tell providers that, you know, particularly those that are very particular about their notes, that you know, don't want to deal with the turnaround time, I just tell them, continue using it. Continue working with Nuance to make the note the way you want it. Because the more you use it, the better it gets. And just try it out. You're going to love it.
Josh, final word.
So on top of that, for those that are skeptical, we've had some of those providers too that, you know, I want to close my notes. I want to control everything. I think I'm already efficient with the way I document. This isn't just a tool for a provider to be efficient. It is a tool that impacts the whole care experience for the patient and for your downstream teams that you're working with. So whether you want to use it 24/7 on all your visits or just on some, it is a tool that's very flexible in that manner. But think about the whole experience, that relationship with the patient, that eye contact that now you can make without worrying about the computer getting in the way. You might be very efficient with that computer, but are you efficient with the relationship that you have with the patient? And how much is that computer getting in the way of that? Just think about that experience when you might be skeptical about the use of this tool.
Yeah, that's great. Guys, this has been so encouraging, so enlightening, and we're really excited about this. I think just hearing from your perspective is really going to help a lot of providers at SC House Calls. So thanks so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate your time, and we're excited. I can't wait to see from a year from now where we're at and how this is going to be functioning. And you guys have given us a really good crystal ball of what this is going to look like in the future. So thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, it's exciting for us too, Jamie, because this is going to be, it's going to do way more than note generation in a year. So it's going to be really fun to see how it grows.
Yeah. That's great. Guys, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network, The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and The Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.